Cavani with the pump fake and one dribble inside to the long two, and he makes it. That's been his game his whole career. But look at him smiling. We go, my bad. The long two.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Long Two. I am Pete Rogers. He is Natty Wallach, and we are a Camillo Stanthony podcast that occasionally talks fantasy basketball. Natty, how you doing today?
I'm well, Pete. How you doing?
I'm good. You know what I've been thinking about, Natty? As we continue to have this GOAT debate between LeBron and Michael Jordan and whomever else you want to put into the conversation, I just wanted to point out that yet again, LeBron James has shown to us that he's needed a super team to do something that MJ did with a bunch of cast-offs in saving the planet. Cast-offs. I mean, Michael Jordan played with Bugs Bunny.
Tasmanian Devil. An elite generational talent.
Oh, he had to teach them how to play basketball. The only person who knew how to play basketball was Lola Bunny and Bill Murray, low-key, mildly. And now LeBron is out here recruiting Superman, Gandalf, the Iron Giant. Like, I just think LeBron needs to, accept what he has and just play with the team around him. That's what a true greatest of all time does. So I just think it's yet another example of MJ being the GOAT.
All things being equal, I'd rather have Bugs.
Ooh, spicy take that you'd have rather have Bugs over an all-powerful alien Superman with laser eyes, ability to fly, super strength. That's a hot take.
Superman has died and has failed.
That's scoreboard. True.
Bugs and
scoreboard. How many times has Bugs Bunny died? Not as many as Superman. So I guess you've got him there.
You know, point proven. I don't need to brag about it. It's a silly debate. Obviously, Bugs is number one in almost every list.
Is he the GOAT? Are we looking out at this wrong? Is it not the GOAT debate not between LeBron or
it's the wrong question, bro? We should be asking who's the rabbit? Who's the bunny?
Nice. The best underrated new nice.
You're winning. Year. Keep going.
Yeah, no. This is. I'll think about it. I'll have something at the end of the pod.
Okay, I look forward to it.
That's my goal, is to figure out what Bunny stands for.
Don't think about what we're talking about. Just continue.
Yes, no, I won't pay attention to anything we're talking about. Just talking about figuring out what Bunny stands for. All right, let's get into our waiver wire ads this week, as we do every week. We have four different categories. Excuse me. We have our dunks, who are players who are 70% and under rostered on ESPN. Our layups, 50% and under. Open threes, 35% and under. And long twos, 20% and under rostered. Natty, why don't you start us off this week with your dunk?
My dunk this week is a trivia question for you.
Ooh, okay, I'm ready.
Who is the lowest rostered player in the top 70 in basic fantasy basketball?
Okay, let me top 70, you say. The lowest rostered player in the
He's
top
61st 70. On the season.
Okay, is it 61st? How much rostered is what's Joe Ingles' percentage now?
No, but good guess. He's over 60, I believe.
Oh yeah, he is well over 60. Is it your favorite Bucks center?
There you go. Brolo himself is 61st on the year on the player rater. He is the lowest rostered player in the top 70. As I said, he's 57% rostered. He's been number 36 over the past month in basic fantasy. Since March 1st, he's 13 plus points per game, 5 boards, a dime, 1 plus block. Love to see it. 51% from the field shooting. Only two players this season have 70 or more total blocks and 70 or more three-pointers made. It's Brolo, and how about you try to guess this one too?
Okay. Blocks and three-pointers, right?
That's right.
Who shoots a lot of threes?
If you get this, you're legend.
Okay, okay, okay. I can do this. I can do this. Is it? No, I can't do it. What? Give me their position.
Okay, they play in the front court.
Okay, in the east. Front court in the east. Front court in the east. Front court in the east. Is it Giannis?
No, it is Chris Boucher.
Or Chris Boucher shoots threes. Wow, I forget that.
I mean, these aren't like top five, but
no,
there
but
are only two people with this amount of volume of blocks and three-pointers made.
And so both those guys. Are- yeah. And Chris Boucher, I mean, obviously he's been a breakout this year. And the fact that you can get a player who's comparable to that free off the waiver wires, you're obviously here for that. The blocks, three-pointers, I would love to, and this maybe we do this, maybe someone else who has infinite data and infinite time on their hands can do this, but I would be very curious to see what is your percentage of like roster percentage on winning championship fantasy teams for players who have like high defense and high three-pointers, because I feel like those two categories, obviously stocks, we talk about it a lot, you're going to get extra points for those categories, and those are always great to have. And then three-pointers, if you shoot a lot of threes and make them at a good clip, that's a good indicator you can score a lot of buckets on any given night. So I feel like that combo of three-pointers and blocks, it's a rare gift, and you want that on your team.
That's why we spoke so much about Brolo 2 and 3 years ago. And the rarity of that combo has become less rare. More people are doing it, including guards. And Brolo's shooting efficiency has gone down, and he's not delivering as much volume as he did a couple of years ago. But he's still delivering you immense fantasy value, and as cheap as anybody. So if he's available, you should go get him. If he's not, maybe you can trade cheap for him because he's older and hasn't been as good in the past, but he's been on a roll.
Yeah. He's a great waiver target, and one who we have loved for many, many years.
26 points the other night, I think.
I mean, you love to see that. My dunk this week is Miles Bridges for the Charlotte Hornets. Yes, 63% rostered on ESPN. Miles Bridges has been playing pretty well this season, but the cursed man himself, who has made a deal with the devil to, I don't know what, but clearly the devil, he has not repaid his debt, because the devil is taking him often and frequently. That's sounds like some something that the people of would not be pleased, along with Nike's blood shoes. Hayward is out for the next 4 weeks with a foot sprain, and I would have to think that Miles Bridges is the favorite to then start in his place at the three.
Yes, sir.
So in the last 8 games, 28 minutes off the bench, Miles Bridges is averaging 12 points per game, 6 boards per game, 2 assists, 1.6 stocks, 50% from the field, 42% from three. Those numbers are just going to increase with minutes. I mean, he might not get much more than, like, I would say he probably is now going to get 30 to 32 minutes per game, but that's going to improve all those counting stats even slightly. And you love to see that. And the thing that I also really like, the Hornets are currently the fourth seed in the East.
Right. So
this isn't a team that's like, this injury is a big loss, but it's also like they are going to put themselves in the best position in order to succeed. And they are going to, this is a team that's still going to be fighting for a playoff spot, which means like Miles Bridges shows anything, like he is going to, they're going to be putting up numbers. They are going to be staying in games. This isn't something that like now this team is suddenly just going to give up. They're going to be fighting to stay into that. And so that's going to be a lot of high pressure moments and a lot of minutes for Miles Bridges to walk into.
Also a guy who was coming off the bench and now he gets to start. Over the week, he's fourth in minutes per game on Charlotte, fifth in shots. He's averaging 14 plus points per game, 7 plus boards, a dime, over a dime and over a block per game. Charlotte wants to stay in the playoff hunt, obviously. They don't want to just crater, but they've had seriously bad luck. So now that we're past the trade deadline, and I'm skeptical that they would add anyone who was bought out, Charlotte has to play who they have. So yep. This is a volume play. Also, Miles Bridges is super fucking fun to watch. He's just, yes. His dunks are magnificent and just so violent and awesome. And I do feel like that's a good reason to play people. Like,
oh my God, he's a perfect example of like the reminder that fantasy sports are meant to be fun. And you want to, like, obviously you watch basketball to like watch your favorite teams play and or favorite, you know, however many teams you got. I obviously have one. So you watch your favorite team play, watch your favorite teams, watch your favorite players. And like, this gives you an excitement level too of picking players that are fun to watch to be on your fantasy team so that you have a, not only a vested interest in watching those games, but those players who you're watching are enjoyable to watch. And Miles Bridges, you're totally right, is a guy who just throws down the most silly dunks and alley-oops and is wildly entertaining from that standpoint.
He was my stud before you told me that he was
on
the list and then I changed it. I just sort of feel like he's a guy that if Hayward hadn't been signed by Charlotte,
he would have started
the whole season.
Yeah.
So this isn't an audition, but it is like an opportunity to prove himself right. I'm a starter totally. In the NBA. And that will be, you know, hopefully I think for him next year, he does start.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. Who's your layup this week?
My layup this week, this is under 50% rostered again.
Nice. Way to do my job. Good for you.
Thank you very much. Derek White, a guard who also gets blocks. Derek
Your
White,
boy. We've talked
about him before. I just absolutely love him. He's nearly 40% rostered, 39.9. He's the 43rd best player over the past month on the player rater since March 1st. He's averaging 15 plus points per game, 3 plus boards, 3 dimes, over a block a game from a guard.
Love it.
He's third in minutes per game and third in field goal attempts per game on the Spurs. He is absolutely safe in minutes and shots. There are 4 players this season. 4 players, Pete, who average 6 plus 3-point attempts and 1 plus block per game. Those 4 players are Kristaps Porzingis, the big cat, Karl-Anthony Towns, Jeremy motherfucking Grant, go Stuns.
Your boy.
And Derek White.
It's a good group.
Kristaps, big cat, Jeremy Grant, who's a gigantic 6'9 forward with arms that go forever, and Derek White, who plays in the backcourt.
You know what's also exciting about Derek White is the fact that since March 10th, over those last 15 games, shooting 39% from the field, despite his career average being 45%.
He's so super, like,
if those minute or if that percentage evens itself out back to, even if he becomes back a 42% shooter, he's still taking 12 attempts per game. Like his points, he's scoring 15 a game on 39%. Like that's impressive. And so the scoring could even get better. And when you already have that defense locked and loaded and that's not changing and those minutes aren't changing, like Derek White, we talked about him last week and there's not too much more needs to be said, but the fact that there is, not only are you getting a player who's giving you numbers now, but a player who could be even better like down the road. Yeah.
We just talked about players that give you 3-pointers made and blocks and what a Boom. Nice combo that is. This well is a guy done, who's Maddie. Doing it from, thank you very much. Learn from the best, sir. He's giving it to you from the perimeter. So, yeah. The Spurs are in the 8th seed right now in the West. They're 24-23. They absolutely want to be in the playoffs. So I don't really see why there's any reason to doubt Derek White's volume going forward.
I totally agree. All right, my layup this week, he's right at the 50% rostered mark as we are recording this. It might be more when you're listening, but you can't blame me because I checked. ESPN has him at 50% rostered. Wendell Carter Jr., who is now on the Orlando Magic after the trade deadline. And since
looks
joining
great facial hair, he looks fantastic in those colors too.
Looks good in the pinstripes. And since joining the Orlando Magic, played 4 games, averaging 14.8 points, 9.5 boards, 1.5 assists, 1.5 blocks on 25 minutes, but in his last 2 games, averaging 30 minutes per game and started the Magic's last game, which to me signifies the fact that as he's, you know, getting acclimated with Orlando and Orlando's getting acclimated with him, like he could be an off and on starter, if not a constant regular starter for the Magic moving forward, but at the very least is likely to see 30 plus minutes moving forward. Obviously that's going to boost all of those stats. And he could just be a walking double double. Only three players this year are averaging 14 points, 9.5 boards and 1.5 blocks per game. Natty, now it's your turn to guess. Can you name any of those three players? And could you name all those three players?
Give me the numbers again, please.
All right. At least 14 points per game, 9.5 boards per game, and 1.5 blocks per game.
And 1.5 blocks. Okay. Bam?
No. Three players.
Rudy.
Rudy is a go. Check.
Okay. Siakam?
No. They're all traditional centers.
I don't know. I got one. I'm going to live one. With that.
I said, and I politely said that you could get one and I'd still give you credit. So I will give you credit. The other two, Big Cat and Clint Capella.
Ooh, Capella. I should have known Big Cat because
you should have. I was surprised that wasn't your first guess.
Because Minnesota, I mean, Jesus.
That's fuck. True. I mean, God, imagine.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, imagine if Big Cat was on a big market team that just didn't have like a death wish.
Dude, I was watching more Wolves games back when it was just Ant and Big Cat was still out and it was just Anthony Edwards. And I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting.
Isn't that kind of bad? Isn't that bad?
Because I love Cat and it sucks. I mean, they're still terrible. But yeah, we should pay attention to him because he's been magnificent since he came back.
But yeah, that's the point being is that Wendell Carter Jr., elite company, like the fact that
he's like
that,
those guys for sure,
exactly, and you get him off waivers. And we've talked about this back a couple weeks ago when the trade deadline happened. Like the Magic are just they are solely in the let's let the young guys play and see what we got moving forward stage. There is no reason for them to win games. They're just going to let you give them minutes, and especially since Wendell Carter Jr. was kind of obviously the picks were nice, but like he was the player that went for Vooch. They're going to, you know, give him a long leash, I would think. And the man already has given you basically a double double and defense. And that's, you can't argue with those kinds of numbers.
He is currently listed as the starting center for the Magic. And this just begs the question, like, why did you keep Ken Birch or why did you keep Mo Bamba? Like you should have
Mo Bamba, especially.
And it's like, if you don't Mo Bamba, I feel so bad because the Magic bring in Wendell Carter. He's like, God damn, man, you traded Vooch and I still can't fucking get out here. Are you kidding? I don't know if there just weren't any good trade offers or if they even tried, but I don't really understand why they would, the Magic especially, would need to keep these three talented centers.
Yeah.
On the same team. Anyway, Carter's looked great. As I said, just looks awesome in Orlando. And this is one of those like, oh, he just needs a different team.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Like he's going to be a heavy starter, him and Chuma Okeke. I mean, RJ Hampton, Cole Anthony will be back maybe from those ribs eventually. There's some interesting young players on Orlando. People should definitely keep their eye out.
People should also go to FadeTeams.com and read an article that Natty wrote a couple of weeks ago about the aforementioned Orlando Magic and all of the waiver wire targets that you can get from them.
There's
just plugging, throwing a plug out there.
Shots there, you know, like people have to play. They can't just forfeit the rest of the season. So T Sizzle, you know, will probably get a bunch of run. And they'll be valuable players over the rest of the season. And Chuma and Wendell are dynasty grabs. Like if you can pick them up in a dynasty league for rather cheap, you should do that.
100% agree. Before we go to an ad break, do you want to hear my latest bunny update?
Yes, please.
Best underrated newcomer of the year.
Does
bunny with one N, but
rookie.
I mean, it can mean whatever you want it to mean.
Okay, wait. Can I give you my bunny of the year then?
Yes, hit me.
Oh man, this is perfect synchronicity, Pete. I'm so
love it
because I wanted to bring this up later, but this is perfect. Okay, so a newcomer is How about the dunking spot for non-traditional centers and front court players, by which I mean a fucking guard who's in the dunker's spot in the front court most of the time?
Yes.
Nine players this season are averaging 8+ points per game, 4+ boards, 1+ dime, have a 54% field goal percentage, and are shooting 75% from the free throw line. Those nine players are the Joker, Bam, DeAndre Ayton, John Collins, Rashawn Holmes, Jonas Valanciunas, Enes Kanter, Ivica Zubac, all of whom are fucking enormous, and Bruce fucking Brown, who's 6'4". Bruce Brown on the Brooklyn Nets, who's having a great month while people are, you know, injured and in and out of the lineup and blah, blah, blah.
And shitting on Michael Rappaport.
Let's not even go to into like, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, continue.
Bruce Brown is showing that an undersized player can not dominate, but be efficient in the post. Mm-hmm. He has a 59.7 true shooting percentage this year. 60 is when you're really, really good. He's not a scorer. Like I said, he 8 points, 4 boards. But what he does is he doesn't fuck up. And while the rest of the perimeter-centric Nets that are cycling through Kyrie, Harden, Durant, Brooklyn Joe, Jeff Green, there's Bruce Brown, who the Pistons never should have let go, and he's just fucking playing his heart out down low, and it's amazing to watch. He's been so good.
Yeah, he's been the bunny. He's definitely a bunny. I like that. I like that. I think because that's the beauty of newcomer. Newcomer can mean all kinds of things. It could be a player joining a team for the first time, you know, like an underrated free agent signing, could be underrated rookie player playing in a new position. There's a lot of flexibility with it. There was
everyone on that list is 7 feet tall. They're right. Fucking inches taller than Bruce Brown.
There was that stretch in February and early March where he just went off and was averaging like 18 a game, and was, you know, obviously a fantasy darling during that. He's a guy that role, if like there are games where he can get hot and give you, you know, 15 points pretty effortlessly. I like it.
Who is your open three?
Well, let's take a quick ad break.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Got excited. I'm sure our listeners are, but we have to.
Thank you for forgiving me.
We have to play these ads so that we make money. All right. We are back. As Natty said and asked, who's my open three? Well, my open three, these guys are under 35% rostered in ESPN. My open three this week is still, again, Nickeil Alexander-Walker. We talked about him. I talked about him specifically last week, but I'm going to bump him again because now Josh Hart is out for the New Orleans Pelicans, which means even more opportunity is now going to be opened for Nah, which I think is also, I feel like we should get that.
And Kira Lewis is hurt, I think.
I feel like that nickname we should get more, like, you know, SGA has really, you know, that's their SGA, I guess. Nah, NAW. I feel like there's a lot to work with there. Since starting the last 7 games, he's averaging 18.9 points, 5.4 rebounds, 2.7 assists, two stocks per game, 44% from the three field, 40% from three. Again, I talked about him last week, so if you want a more in-depth dive into him, you can go listen to last week's show, but he's getting you points. He's going to get even more runtime with the Pelicans dealing with more injuries. And with Josh Hart expected to miss like basically an indefinite amount of time, even if Lonzo comes back, there's still a role for, you know, Nah to slip right into. And so his numbers probably won't even decrease that much with Lonzo coming back. So he is a guy who you should be rostering at a much higher clip than what he is.
True or false, the New Orleans Pelicans have a better record than the Sacramento Kings?
I feel like that should be true, but the fact that you are asking me it makes me feel like it's false.
Before Sunday's games, the Kangs are 22-28. The Pels are 21-28.
That's upsetting.
Everybody's upsetting. Since they traded JJ Redick and maybe lied to his face, like everything seems to have fallen to pieces. They're a disappointing team, I think.
Yeah.
I think that when you sign JJ Redick and you trade for Steven Adams and you still have all these young guys, like, yeah, have they had it? Yes, they've had bad luck. They've had injuries. They've had COVID, like, just like most of the other teams.
Just like every other team.
They're not even a play-in team right now.
Yeah.
They're in the 12th spot. And if people are out longer, then they're going to continue to dip. Is that the worst thing in the world for the Pelicans as a franchise? No. That means you get a better pick. And, you know, it was hard to believe that Steven Adams would be there for the entirety of his contract anyway, but right. Still, like, you have Bledsoe, like, you just, this is, you were supposed to have pieces around to be at least solid, I think.
Well, you know, and what this is? This is like exactly what they did with Anthony Davis,
yeah,
where they got him. He was amazing. And they're like, oh shit, we got to start moving. So they traded for Jrue Holiday. And suddenly they were like this team that went from really bad to like good-ish with veterans. And so it's kind of like you can't. And while Anthony Davis is like learning how to be an NBA player, which obviously didn't take him that long, the guy was incredible from the word go, but
was dealing with, you know, growing into a real right. NBA body, you know,
right. Like, and so they just kind of like flirted with this quasi playoff team, quasi wasn't. And eventually to the point where they just were treading water so long, AD was like, all right, get me the fuck out of here. Like, I think the Pelicans, hopefully, if I were that team, I would get rid of Eric Bledsoe, get rid of Steven Adams, get rid of all veterans, and just be like, okay, we're a team of young players. We are going to steer into that. And yes, maybe it'll take a little bit longer to like truly compete, but let's figure out what Zion is to us. Like, what is he? What does he need next to him? Can he learn how to play defense at a reliable rate? Or do we need to get a hyper defensive minded guy next to him in order to balance that out, especially with Brandon Ingram? Like, just figuring out what the pieces are for this roster, as opposed to like trying to like get available veterans to try to plug the holes for now and hope that maybe these young players can like push you into the back end of the playoffs. I think that they need to learn from what they did with Anthony Davis and like rushing the timeline with him, to being like, all right, let's not do that with Zion and this young core we have. Let's give them the room to develop. And I think that is something that the Celtics have, through trial and error, kind of gotten to. Like, they definitely, the Kyrie like sped up the timeline.
There's no other option.
Right, exactly. Like, but Kyrie sped up the timeline, but then it kind of forced Tatum and Jaylen in their backseat. And then Kemba came in, and then Hayward came in, but then Hayward got injured. So then it kind of thrust them, like, their timeline has been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And now it's eventually settled on like, all right, this is a Tatum and Brown's team, and everyone else is like stepping out of their way.
And it's clock blocking time.
Oh, yeah. And it's clock box team. We clock block, who's the greatest NBA player of all time. Sorry. Yes. That's so rude of me to not include him in that.
He's the bunny. Let's go.
Oh, my God. He is the bunny. Oh, Lordy. 20 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. Oh, my God. He looked good. Anyways, way to cut me off, because otherwise I was going to keep rambling about the Pelicans, but that's my thoughts on the Pelicans.
Time Lord is sort of like that vintage Boston athlete where it's like, he's not the best dude on the team, but he grabs the team and the fan base by the fucking balls because so much.
Oh, I love it. Who's your open three this week?
My open three is a guy we keep talking about, and it's because he provides cheap volume and cheap counting stats. That is Jayshon Tate. He is still 35% rostered, or 33% rostered, so under the cutoff. He's the 66th best player over the past month at Fantasy. He's first in total minutes played in Houston since February 1st, and I've said that before, but safe minutes. And it's just the easiest way to accumulate counting stats. Guys who play, availability is the best ability. Since March 1st, he's 11 plus points per game, 5 plus boards, 2 plus dimes, 1.5 steals per game. That's nice. Jayshon has 24 total steals and 93 total rebounds since March 1st. Only Sabonis, Westbrook, Rob Covington, and Jimmy Butler equal or exceed those totals. Like, that's the kind of guy you're getting for nothing, for under 40%. You're getting those counting stats. You don't, the points don't matter. you're taking advantage of a shitty situation in Houston. And, you know, like, if everybody's healthy, will his numbers go down? I actually don't think so. Like, he's out there because he's a good defender and because there's nobody else. But when everyone, if the Houston Rockets were at optimum, I feel like his efficiency would go up and his counting stats would remain static.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to keep pushing him because the Rockets are certainly playing him, and you should be too as a fantasy player.
Totally. Is it a very lazy comparison to say that he kind of reminds me of D Wade?
Yes.
Okay.
It's lazy good comparison. You say that. You don't want to be lazy. In terms of like athleticism, you mean?
And just how his game is structured around like kind of bullying people to the hoop. Like he drives and it's right, scoring around the hoop.
Yeah.
He doesn't take threes. He has the similar build. He's a smaller, stockier guy, 6'4", 230. I remember watching him when the Hornets or Rockets played the Celtics recently. And like, he scores and he kind of annoys me watching him play because he has that kind of like, he was getting calls that I just didn't feel like a rookie should have gotten, but that was just my own personal non-Dr. Pete speaking. But yes, he's a guy, I have him rostered in one of my leagues. And he's a perfect guy for like, if there's a particular week where you need just a reliable streamer, add him. Or if there is, you know, if you just need him for a day, like add him. He's going to get you consistent and good production.
Right. When the Rockets are playing four games in a week, he will play perfect. All four of those games. So you'd rather have that right. production than someone with a few more points who's only playing three games.
Right. He's going to play all four. He's going to play 32 minutes, all four games, and he's going to get you defensive points. All right, let's move on to our long twos final category. These guys are 25. No, just straight 20. 25? Yep, under 20. 20% and under rostered. I am breaking our rule here. And this is why I was confused about 25 for 20.
Because I'm cheating. Gotcha.
Because I'm cheating. Yep. Because he's 24% rostered. But I figured you'd be okay with that because he's on the Pistons. And that's Hamidou Diallo. I thought you'd be okay with this. Since being traded from OKC four games, he's played 24 minutes, 14.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, 1.8 assists, and then 58% from the field, 55% from three. He's just shooting roughly two attempts per game, but still he's making half of them. You take that.
Grant's younger brother. Like they're both driving. They're both, you know, somewhat active on the perimeter. I've loved watching him since he came over.
And he's been off and on the court for the Pistons, but when on, he's been making a clear impact. And I think he's going to like cement himself a role. And obviously you can talk more to this since you are a Pistons fan, but it seems to me that like he is going to cement himself a role moving forward where he will get more reliable minutes on a game per game basis. Like he's still getting 24 minutes, but he's playing like every other game. And I think that's just kind of getting acclimated with the trade. And then once he's kind of there, he's going to get you, you know, 15 points, 5-6 boards per game moving forward. Love it.
The Pistons suddenly have like more players, like a
then
lot
they know
of
what
players.
To do with.
Like Corey Joseph is there and Dwayne Casey knows him. And so he's played a lot and he's played well. Killian Hayes was back.
He's coming back.
Right. But hopefully they're not going to give him too many minutes.
They're just going to toss him right into the deep end. Wouldn't that be the most Pistons thing possible?
I mean, but I actually feel like the best reason for the Dwayne Casey signing was he knows how to get a team to 60 wins. Like that's a good coach with a track record, but he also knows how to develop young talent and young talent that doesn't really have pedigree. You know, he did a great job with the Raptors. That whole front office and coaching staff did a great job with everyone that they got. Dwayne Casey now has vets that he knows, vets that he trusts, and a bunch of young kids. And Diallo and Bay, I think, are the two best defenders on the perimeter. Like, I do think that going forward is a pretty good duo. Josh Jackson is a guy that should be coming off the bench. Like, he should be our sixth man.
Yep.
And then, you know, everything else, Jeremy Grant, like, Diallo, Bay, Grant, and Plumlee, and then you cycle through the point is better than we've seen in a while, I think, in Detroit. Or it's just, it makes more sense. It seems competent. I think they've done a pretty good job, actually, even though we got crushed by 40 points. But we're supposed to be bad.
It's sensing some positivity here from Natty. He's drinking the Kool-Aid. You're buying in.
Well, it's not just that we're tanking. It's that you can see positive momentum from the young players. So Siku Demboya has, he doesn't even play anymore. But every other young player on the team has looked pretty good. So we're a bottom three team. We're going to have a top five pick. I'm feeling pretty good about the coming 3 years for the Pistons.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy feeling happy about his team.
Even as we lose by 40, it still looks like, but you can see what the core moving forward is. Yeah. And I think that's perimeter defense more than anything.
And that's a good, that is a great place for a team tanking to find themselves, where it's like, I can see where we have, you know, 2 to 3 integral pieces moving forward. Natty, why don't you wrap us up with your long two?
Okay. My long two is a guy who's 18% rostered. So I'm not cheating like some people.
Well, you know, I figured it was a Piston. I'm just trying to, Natty, I'm just trying to bring the best information I can to the listeners and trying to give them the fantasy advice that they need to win, even if it means breaking a few rules. Hey, this man of the people is out there to help the people.
It's like an action movie. Like, you're here to get the job done.
Exactly.
You break a few things on your way to doing that. That's what has to happen.
It's the cost of doing business. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I apologize for it's not cheating. You were right.
Thank you. I appreciate
my long two. My long two is supposed to be the least efficient pick, but he is actually one of the most efficient players in the entire NBA. He is 18% rostered. He is the 110th best player on the player rater for the season.
Ooh.
He has the fifth most total minutes on his team for the season. Since March 1st, he's averaging 13 plus points per game, 4 rebounds, 3 plus assists. He has a 55% field goal percentage, and he has a 64 true shooting percentage on the season. This player is Jalen Brunson of the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, man. Jalen Brunson.
Dallas has the fifth best winning percentage in the NBA since February 1st. That's 2 months. So they're on the up. As I said, he has a 64 true shooting percentage, which is 12th best of all NBA players who play at least 30 games, who have played at least 30 games and average 8 or more shots per game. Jalen Brunson is tied with Steph Curry in true shooting percentage.
Pretty good. Seems good.
Excuse me. Out of all the players in the NBA this season who drive to the hoop 8 or more times per game, these are the top 4 in field goal percentage on those drives. Are you ready?
I am ready.
It's obviously Jalen Brunson is one of them.
What?
Right. The other 3 are Luka, his teammate, LeBron James,
who's good,
and Giannis.
Damn.
Giannis is first in field goal percentage on drives at 62.7. Guess who's fucking tied with him? It's Jalen fucking Brunson on drive. Giannis is the size of a skyscraper. Jalen Brunson, no one even knows his fucking name. You wouldn't be able to pick him out of a lineup. It is unfucking real how good he is on finishing. He is one of the most efficient players in the NBA right now. I don't really know how to explain it other than like Rick Carlisle found another guard. This is the JJ Barea replacement, apparently.
For sure.
And like JJ Redick being a Maverick, like I could see maybe that cuts in a little bit, but not really. Like JJ isn't there certainly to defend, and he's not there to distribute. He's just there to, you know, take passes from Luka, really. So I think Jalen's role is pretty much assured going forward. He has been absolute fucking sniper.
Well, and the thing is because of the fact, like you talked about, like his calling card being just hyper efficiency, is that he doesn't need a whole bunch of attempts to get you good scoring outputs. And so even
Luka, LeBron, Giannis, and Jalen.
Right, right. And so, first of all, it's absurd that Luka's doing that when he's like taking 20 attempts per game. Like, good God.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Brunson, like, you know, he's averaging about 9 attempts per game right now. So even if that decreases slightly, but I don't think that's not going to decrease that much, because just 9 attempts is nothing. And that is still, and he's still getting you, you know, 12, 13 points per game this season on that. And it is wildly impressive, his efficiency. And that's why players with good efficiency are great fantasy targets, because if their minutes go down or if their usage goes down slightly, they're still going to get you reliable production. You can still trust them to do that. They're not relying on taking, you know, 17 shots per game in order to get you a solid outing. But if they suddenly step into more minutes or more usage, they're going to just absolutely take off, because that efficiency is going to mean that, like, if they start shooting 13 times a game, you know, they're going to be averaging 15 plus points with relative ease. So you've been long on the Jalen Brunson train. And so it feels good, I'm sure, to be able to have got on him early and be just riding this high. Watching greatness in front of your eyes, Natty. That's the only way to describe it.
They're a team with momentum, and he's part of it. And he's under 20% owned, and his efficiency belies his long-to-itness, if I can use terrible phrase. He's, you know what he is? He's a long-to from DeMar DeRozan. That's what he
Perfect.
Is.
Perfect. Cash, thanks. Money.
Or Melo. Let's go with Melo.
Let's go with Melo. I mean, we are a Camillus Anthony podcast. Before we go to studs and duds, Natty, do you have any from the logos to talk about?
I do. He's playing right now. Rajon Rondo back, y'all. Rajon Rondo is back. He is playing for the Los Angeles Clippers. The first game he's playing in is against the Lakers. He's, 5% rostered?
Is he really? That seems so low for him.
Well, because, I mean, who knew he was injured? Like, he wasn't playing for Atlanta. Who knew what was going to happen? But the Clippers have turned over their entire goddamn roster from the Sweet Lou Harrell days. Like, Pat Bev isn't playing right now. He's out injured. So Rondo is probably the lead guard. I mean, I would rather have him than Arjax, but I'm a Pistons fan as well. Rondo could be as valuable as TJ McConnell in terms of fantasy in terms of assists in fantasy. He's not going to get as many steals, but like there's a real good reason to think that if a healthy Rondo who's on the cusp of the playoffs is back, that's a valuable fantasy player. So, you know, 10 plus assists is probably going to happen for Rondo at some point for the rest of the season. It won't be like that for every game, but like that one game, if it happens while you're in your fucking fantasy playoffs, is something that will help you win. So he costs nothing. I would at least keep my eye on him. And, you know, going forward, he could be fantasy gold.
Yep. Also, quick breaking news. The Clippers just signed DeMarcus Cousins to a 10-day contract.
Good. So, good.
Well done, Clippers. All right, let's go to studs and duds. It is time for both Natty and I to pick one player who we think will perform above average in fantasy this coming week and one who will underperform in DFS. Natty, 2-0 last week. Well done. Just by with Miles Plumlee, Mason Plumlee, excuse me, as a stud. Just snuck. I think he's on the season. He's averaging like 15.6 fantasy points. And this week he got you 15.8, which just technically is better than.
What I was talking about last week. I was like, just what a you're little talking bit about. Up and just a just little bit
a
down.
A little bit up. Yeah. So your record this year, 10-6. And we are now tied because I went 1-1. So I'm also 10-6. On the year. So after having a commanding lead, I have just shat it away. But we're going to stay on the positive. We're going to prevent the slide from continuing.
It's nice to be same. Let's, you know, it's 0-0. Let's keep going.
All right. I'm going to get the win. My stud this week is Aaron Gordon for the Denver Nuggets.
Incredible, really. Well, he's my dud because I think I've chosen him already as a dud and I shouldn't do that. But yeah, keep going. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Interesting. I love this. We're tied and we're both having a stud dud off.
First time ever, maybe? At least this
I think so. That's impressive if that's the first time ever. Plays the Pistons, plays the Spurs twice, and then Boston on Sunday. And I just feel like he is going to go off against the Celtics just to rub salt in the wound of not being able to trade for him. It just feels like that narrative is pre-scripted and it's going to happen. He has been working extremely well in Denver as as that dunk role that we talked about with Bruce Brown. He's great cutting to the basket. And obviously Jokic is loving having a player who will aggressively make moves to the basket when he's in the post. So I like Aaron Gordon this week. You don't? I like it.
I think all of the reasons you said, it's like, I'm the mirror image or the mirror opposite from all the, like, I think that Boston is going to try to show Aaron Gordon why they didn't trade for him.
Okay.
Detroit.
I like how you as a non-Celtics fan have more confidence in the Celtics than I do. It's a classic Boston fandom.
Also with Boston versus Denver, I mean, I love Time Lord, but Joker's going to get his.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah, totally.
I love Kemba and Marcus, but Jamal Murray is going to get his. I don't know really how well the Boston defenders will go up against Michael Porter Jr. I think that could be tough.
Yeah, I couldn't pick MAGA Porter Jr. to be my stud for anyone.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Also, the Detroit game, even though I do expect Denver to blow us out of the water, I think Jeremy Grant will play hard. And so, you know, sure, it's either gonna be Grant or Sadiq Bey against Aaron Gordon. And I think both those guys are going to try their best and just, they'll make it a hard game on Gordon. Yeah. And then, you know, playing San Antonio is always sort of a headache. So right. Again, this week, I think he's just going to be a little bit below, you know, he's like 11-4-2 and a steal, I think. Like, that's the sort of line he'll have over the next week, which is definitely solid, but not up to his season numbers.
Awesome. Well, I love the fact that we are tied for the first time and that we're taking a differing opinions on one player for the first time.
That's beautiful. That's great. This is really going to be a dividing line. I love this. Nice.
Who's your stud this week?
Okay, so my stud, it's 41% rostered, which isn't really stud levels, but he plays for the Raptors, and the Raptors are now down Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet. He is the newest Raptor, Gary Trent Jr. Over the past week, second in minutes per game for Toronto. He has 4 3-pointers made per game. He's averaging 19 and 4 boards. He's taking the second most shots. With the two guards out, I think it's the Gary Trent Jr., OG Anunoby, and Pascal Siakam show over the next week at least. So, you know, there isn't anyone else really. I just think that he's looked great in Toronto. He has more opportunities, and I think that they're going to really depend on their wings over the next week with both of their star guards out. So this is not just a volume play. I like Gary Trent Jr. a lot. I think he is a good dynasty pickup. But I just think that the forwards and the bigs are going to be the story of Toronto over the next week or two.
Sorry, I was yawning. Yes, that's a great call. I like not
to watch Toronto games. I get it, man. I get it. Like they don't look good recently. Like they're, I mean, out of the playoffs, maybe.
Except for them when they absolutely blew the doors off the Warriors.
Yeah, a lot of 40-point games recently, which is weird. But I think that kind of high variance happens when you have tanking teams. And,
totally.
I mean, well, the Raptors aren't even in the playoffs right now. They're in the 11th seed, so they're only two games up on Wizards. Yikes. It's
a weird season. Weird shit happens. All right, let's wrap up. My dud for this week is I was going to pick someone else on this team, but then I was like, you know what, Pete, go big or go home. This is probably going to absolutely eviscerate me. It's going to happen that both Aaron Gordon is going to bomb and my dud, Ja Morant, is going to thrive.
Oh shit, that was my original dud.
Really? Oh my goodness. Okay, well, so then you can't shit on it. Yeah, he has to drive against Bam Adebayo, Clint Capella, Nerlens Noel, and Miles Turner. That's a murderer's row of play, of defenders to go up against.
That's tough no matter who you are. That sucks.
Yeah, so that's absolutely awful. So I just think Ja is going to I was originally going to do Dylan Brooks, and then I was like, but Dylan Brooks shoots threes. And I was like, Ja Morant doesn't really shoot threes. So I'm going all in on Ja.
And Ja's in a tough sophomore slump. He's, let's see, he's 125 on the player rater for the season. That's a disappointment. You'd rather he was better than that. But again, he's a sophomore. And it's not even just like the rim protectors. Like Miami, Atlanta now has...
Atlanta's better. All of a sudden just become a top defense.
And then the Knicks and the Pacers, like those are tough guards you're going up against. That's going to be a really tough schedule for him. I love you so hard. I am in absolute agreement with you. I'm glad you said it because we both love Ja, and I think we both love that team. It's tough though, man. Like that's a fucking rough schedule no matter who you are.
Yeah, it's absolutely brutal. All right, before we go, time for our favorite segment, Natty Says More Shit. Natty, what do you have to say to wrap us up?
I don't have anything really interesting other than the Lakers can't win without LeBron or AD.
Or Kyle Kuzma draining 30 points. Do you like how after last week we were like, Kyle Kuzma has been letting us down. Kuzma just goes off. So you're welcome, good. Lakers fans.
Flintstone, well done.
Yeah. You're totally right.
Fourth seed, but, you know, I think they've lost all four games. There's a hierarchy in the East. There are only three teams that have at least 30 wins. In the West, though, there are six. So you can see the Lakers, they're 31-18. The Nuggets are 30-18. The Blazers are 30-19. And Dallas, who's 27-21, like I said earlier, have the fifth best overall winning percentage in the NBA over the past 2 months. Teams are coming. It would not be that surprising to me if the Lakers are in the 7-8, maybe even 9 or 10, if one of these other teams go on a roll. And that's fucking rough. Because that's
not what you want.
Then you have to think about, okay, well, wait a second. Are we rushing AD or LeBron back, or are we waiting to make sure that they're healthy, which means that your win-loss record might be even worse? Like, I'd almost rather be conservative and be like, so long as we're in at least the 10th seed, like, we can win one game. That's fine.
Yeah,
we're
not scared totally. About it.
But this is a high-wire act, man. Like, if the Lakers fall out of the playoffs, that is a catastrophe. And I also think it means that AD and LeBron don't play again this year.
Ooh.
If they're both out, you love to see it. I think the only that would happen is because they're out for at least 1 or 2 weeks longer than we're told, in which case it won't matter.
Maybe they shouldn't have spent all of their offseason filming Space Jam 2.
I mean, they played more than anybody else. You know,
I don't want actual reasons, Natty. You know I'm right.
Maybe some Boston Celtics should have tried to be in Space Jam 2, and then they would be looking better than they do this year.
Look, this is the oh my God, Isaiah Thomas meme of I fit the qualifications. I just don't know why I wasn't selected. Let's be honest.
Wait, someone signed him, didn't they?
No way LeBron is... actual Isaiah Thomas, or Isaiah Thomas, the current basketball player, yes, signed with the Pelicans. I was talking about Isaiah Thomas, the Detroit Piston of the Piston era.
Not IT. Okay.
When he didn't make the, whatever it was. Was it the Olympic team or the All-Star team? Because Michael Jordan said he didn't want him on the team. And yeah, Isaiah Thomas is like, I met all the qualifications. There's no way LeBron was going to have a Boston Celtic in his movie. Come on.
There's reason to believe that LeBron is friends with absolutely everybody in the NBA. So like, I don't think that he would hate on having Celtics in there. It would even be funny if he did. Like, he's such a charming dude. Like, you know, he could convince anybody to do anything in the NBA. If he asked the Jays in Boston to come in, they would have said yes.
All right, let's finish this podcast up. Enough LeBron James praise.
Hey, man, LeBron's killed my team much, much harder than he's killed yours. Okay? That fourth quarter in overtime in the playoffs in 2007 destroyed my franchise for over a decade. Just saying. Like, I have more reason to hate on him than you guys do.
Make sure you subscribe to the Fake Dudes Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That's how you'll not only get us, but also our fantasy baseball and fantasy football podcasts. Fantasy baseball is up and running, people. So if you play, make sure you tune in. Follow us on Twitter at the Long Tube Podcast. Natty, until next week, stay safe, my friend.
Everybody have a great week. Be safe.